Your conference is being recorded.
Good morning to our call participants in Asia, and good evening to our participants from the U.S. This is the conference call for the first quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, or DMPL, ending July 2019. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Group Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, Group CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, the U.S. subsidiary of DMPL, and this is Iggy Sison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start the call, may we request all participants to please mute their phone. We'll start then on slide five, and Parag Sachdeva, our CFO, will now present our first quarter results.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Iggy. Before moving on to slide five, on slide four, I would like to draw your attention to the last bullet point. The group has adopted IFRS 16 from 1st May 2019. IFRS 16 introduces a single on-balance sheet accounting model for lessees. On slide five, pleased to share with you the first quarter highlights. Gross margin rose 650 basis points, and recurring EBITDA improved by 42% to $38.7 million due to pricing action, higher fresh pineapple sales, and better sales mix. Recurring operating profit increased by $11.9 million to $22.4 million, or 114% over prior year quarter's $10.5 million. Net loss incurred due to one-off items, but recurring net income of $4.1 million, a turnaround from the $3.7 million net loss in the prior year quarter. One-off items include $39.6 million of tax on intercompany dividends. This is in preparation for capital raising initiative that the group has embarked on. Slide six. As far as the outlook goes, we are expected to be profitable for fiscal year 2020, barring unforeseen circumstances on a recurring basis. We will incur certain one-off expenses that are expected from streamlining the operations. Major emphasis on responding to consumer trends through strengthening the core business and focusing on growing our branded business continues. As informed in the past, we continue to focus on improving financial performance through review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S. to improve operational efficiency, further reducing costs, and increasing margins amidst cost headwinds, including rising metal packaging prices and impact of tariffs imposed by the U.S. Greg will talk more about the asset-light strategy and the closure of certain production facilities that has been announced a couple of weeks back. Improving cash flow, strengthening balance sheet, and reducing leverage also continues to be a key strategic initiative for the group. Slide seven talks about the group results in a summarized manner. Sales of $375.9 million are lower by 14%. U.S. sales lower by 21.7%, and if we strip out Sager Creek, DMFI sales would have been lower by 15.3%. Philippines, higher by 2.3% in local currency and 4.1% in U.S. dollar terms. As the S&W brand in Asia surged by 19.1%, mainly due to higher sales of fresh as well as processed. JV in India has grown at 11% in local currency, driven by growth of Del Monte branded business. EBITDA of US$38.7 up 42% from US$27.3 million due to higher prices in the U.S. and Philippines, improved sales mix in the U.S., plus the favorable impact of the divestiture of low-margin Sager Creek vegetable business. Operating profit of US$22.4 million, up 114% from US$10.5 million. Net profit of US$4.1 million, a turnaround from the US$3.7 million net loss last year. All of the profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. Slide 8 provides an overview of non-recurring expenses. One-off cost in the first quarter is US$2.2 million on a pre-tax basis, out of which US$1.7 million was incurred in partial disposal of assets of Crystal City, which is a plant in Texas. This quarter's one-off expenses, as outlined in my summary for the Q1 results, does include US$40.9 million of tax on intercompany dividends and deferred tax on undistributed share in profits of a subsidiary. DMPL's Philippines subsidiary, Del Monte Philippines Inc., declared dividends to its parent, and the dividends were taxed at 15%. Would like to reiterate that this is in preparation for capital raising initiatives that the group is embarking on. Just to remind you all, last year included a one-off gain worth US$15.9 million pre-tax or US$12.6 million post-tax from the additional purchase of US$99 million of DMFI second lien loan at a discount in the secondary market. Last year also includes non-recurring costs from the divestiture of Sager Creek business. Slide 9 provides a more detailed overview of our Q1 results. Fourth quarter sales, again, is 14% lower at $375.9 million, and that's mainly due to divested Sega business and lower U.S. sales, partly offset by higher Philippines and S&W Asia sales. Excluding Sega, sales would be down by 9.2%. This will be explained more in the next slide, which talks about the turnover analysis. Gross margin at 24.3%, significantly higher by 640 basis points on an organic basis, led by price increases in Philippines and U.S. market, exit from low-margin Sega business, and favorable sales mix in the U.S. due to lower sales of private label products and USDA. These initiatives more than offset unfavorable impact from lower pine juice concentrate pricing, higher commodity costs, particularly tinplate, across Asia and the U.S., and under-absorption of overheads due to reduced pack in the U.S. last year. EBITDA of US$36.6 million and operating profit at $20.3 million, higher versus last year by 42% and 114% respectively on a recurring basis, mainly due to increased gross profits. On a reported basis, EBITDA and operating income are up by 94% and 902% respectively, as last year included a $8.5 million from the liquidation of Sager Creek inventory. Net finance expense last year included a one-off gain of $15.9 million from additional purchase of second lien loan at a discount in the secondary market. DMPL's share in FieldFresh joint venture in India was a loss of $0.2 million and lower than last year due to increase in cost of commodities and higher overheads. Tax expense of $38.7 million, as explained in a couple of slides, includes intercompany tax on dividends, and that's mainly DMPL's Philippine subsidiary, Del Monte Philippines Inc., declaring dividends to its parent, and the dividends were taxed at 15%. Net debt at $1.56 billion, marginally higher by $60 billion due to payment of dividend tax as well as for general use purposes. Gearing ratio at 2.76 times, marginally higher as equity lowered following net loss due to payment of final tax on intercompany dividend. Slide 10 outlines briefly the turnover analysis by geography. Americas constituted 64% of total group sales, lower by 21.6% in the first quarter to $240.2 million, mainly driven by divestiture of Sega business and lower private label sales in retail channel, which is in line with the strategy. Stripping out Sega, sales would have been lower by 15.1%. Lower volume in packaged food was also one of the causes for declining sales, and that was due to impact of lower promotions and increase in list price. DMFI has fast-tracked the innovation pipeline in sync with trends for health, snacking, and convenience as it launched innovative products in the growing refrigerated produce and frozen categories. Asia-Pacific sales in the first quarter grew by 7.5% to $129.6 million from $120.6 million, driven by 19% increase in sales of S&W business, both fresh pineapples and packaged fruit. Philippine market sales were higher by 2.3% in peso terms and 4.1% in U.S. dollar terms respectively, mainly due to peso appreciation. Price increases and lower direct promotion spending also contributing to the increase. Group continued to fix the distribution transition issues in general trade, and we progressed. Europe sales were lower at $6.1 million by 41.5%, mainly on lower sales from all categories and impact from lower pine juice concentrate pricing. With that, I would hand it over to Greg to provide a comprehensive market update on the U.S.
Thank you, Parag. I'll begin on slide 12. Slide 12 highlights and summarizes our market share performance for the quarter over the 13-week period through July 2019. We've maintained our share leadership position in the important canned vegetable category. We have been encouraged by the performance of this core business, which is our largest core branded business. We've been able to successfully raise our list pricing, reduce our trade promotion activity, and command a higher premium over private label and competition in this important segment, and still really experience some positive velocity, volume, and share performance in this business. Also maintained our leadership position across our canned fruit business. Are encouraged by some of the recent activity and innovation around our fruit cup snack business. And lastly, our canned tomato business, encouraged by the activity that's occurring with our Contadina brand and maintaining our number two market share position. So we continue to focus on maintaining share leadership on our core businesses. And at the same time, as Parag mentioned, we're supporting these legacy businesses and expanding into new categories. And this quarter, we began shipping for the first time into the frozen food category in the U.S. This is an important segment for us. It's a growing business in the U.S. and is on trend with consumer preferences. So our innovation is allowing us to expand into new places, new categories, and as well as new channels. So we're reaching consumers with this Del Monte brand in new and unique ways and are encouraged by our early success. We've launched 29 new products in the U.S. market in this first quarter and are on track to meet our distribution expectations for these businesses. The fundamentals for the core business remain on solid ground. We continue to gain more shelving space and to delist competitive brands, particularly in our core canned branded segments. And we continue to invest in marketing to support both our core business and, importantly, support trial and awareness of our new products. We are also encouraged by the growth and the accomplishments of our food service and our e-commerce business. Both are new platforms of growth. Off of a low base, we are experiencing positive top line in those segments. On slide 13, we summarize some additional U.S. First quarter results. As Parag alluded to, we expected and anticipated some lower sales in this first quarter due to the divestiture of Sager Creek, as well as deprioritizing some margin and profit dilutive business in areas like private label, discounts, as well as USDA bids. So really decreasing our focus on non-branded business, focusing more on branded business, and as well as really trying to raise that premium for our branded products. Those results have been encouraging. We did see a very significant improvement in gross margins this first quarter and exceeded 20% gross margins for the quarter for our business, which was a substantial improvement over 12.9% gross margins in prior year quarter. This is on track with our plans to continue to grow gross margins and over the course of the next 12 and 24 months continue to drive gross margin enhancement and improvement, which will drive our EBITDA and profitability growth and turnaround. New products, on the bottom of the page, we talk about some of the new things that are going on, encouraged by the level of innovation that's occurring on our U.S. business in refrigerated produce, in frozen, in snacking and convenience. Really encouraged by the products that we're launching, the reception that we're getting from our customers and consumers. And the next couple of slides will provide more detail around our new Fruit Crunch Parfaits, our new frozen vegetable bites and Contadina pizza bites, as well as a highly innovative new product that we started shipping in June, Del Monte Bubble Fruit, and some additional line extensions on our Fruit and Oats business, which was a successful launch for us this year. So if you turn to slide 14, what you'll see is that we focused on a couple of areas of innovation that we're investing in to really support the expansion and growth. First, our Fruit Crunch Parfait. There's a full serving of fruit in this parfait. It's full of probiotics, no artificial flavors or preservatives, and it's also non-dairy. So it really is on trend with what is growing in the U.S. market in this space, and we are encouraged by the reception that we're receiving for this launch. To the right, we feature Bubble Fruit, which is truly innovative and differentiated. There's no other brand in the U.S. market that's expanding the way we are and launching boba in the retail trade.
This item combines real fruit and boba. Again, no artificial flavors or sweeteners, and we're investing to support this business. And this item, we're really encouraged by the level of authorization we're getting, the shelving commitments, and the support from our customers across the country. Slide 15 talks about a couple of other product launches. These are our frozen food launches that we're supporting. We're doing a lot of work with shopper marketing, with digital marketing, demos, really trying to get these products in the hands of consumers during that path to purchase. These items are both produced using cauliflower crust, which helps increase the servings of vegetables per serving. It also helps really provide a healthier profile for a frozen appetizer. The frozen appetizer space in the U.S. is large and growing, and we've been able to produce these products, which are differentiated and really striking a need with today's consumers. So we're encouraged by the launch into frozen. We're investing to support this business. And where we have been able to see some early results on trial and on demo, very encouraged by the volume lift and the trial we're receiving. Next slide, slide 16, gives a few highlights on some of the successes in food service. Food service is succeeding both in really trying to target different types of channel trade, like the airlines. In this example, Spirit Air has just accepted our new grab-and-go single-serve fruit and chia products. We're also having success with our fruit and oats grab-and-go single-serve products in venues such as the airlines, as well as vending. The Sodexo partnership that we have, it's a new partnership. They've added over 100 new Del Monte products that they're offering to their clients. And this really is a platform for us to really grow through schools, universities, hospitals, senior living communities, and other venues. So very excited about our work with Sodexo in terms of paving the way for enhanced growth and distribution. And then lastly, our parfaits with Vistar, really encouraged by their acceptance of the line, and through their resources and their customers, we'll be able to really rapidly expand where consumers can find our new Fruit Crunch parfaits in away-from-home consumption. So very encouraged about those accomplishments and more to follow there. The last slide on slide 17 talks about an important announcement that we made here in the first quarter on August 20th. We announced our plan to really address our supply chain, to strategically address the issues that we faced with high fixed cost, underutilized assets, and a real inefficient manufacturing process. We took a bold step, and that's going to bring instant increases in profitability to the business and dramatically improve our asset utilization. We are in this announcement, we announced our plans to close two facilities, to complete a closure and partial asset sale in one facility, as well as sell a facility in Wisconsin. So this work will be completed over the next couple of months. This will all be transitioned, this volume, to other Del Monte facilities. So to give an example of utilization from a capacity standpoint, we're going to increase our utilization from roughly 60% capacity utilization this year to well over 90% capacity utilization in next year's pack. So encouraged by the work going on here to minimize the impact of these closures and sales and really provide a more robust, efficient, lower-cost supply chain as we move into the future years. Those results and the financial impact of these closures will be reported in our Q2 results. So with that, I will pass the presentation over to Cito Alejandro.
Thank you, Greg. I will now talk about our business outside of the United States, our international business. First is on the Philippines on page 18. Pleased to report that our market shares are stable to growing, specifically in packaged pineapple, canned mixed fruit, canned carton juices, tomato sauce, and spaghetti sauce. I'm also pleased to report that coming from a decline in fiscal year 2019, our general trade and modern trade segments that account for 80% of our business have begun to grow. Let me talk more about that in the next page. on the Philippines. Philippine retail sales grew by 4% in volume and 9% in peso sales value. Our non-retail food service declined due to a change in a customer's procurement policy, specifically from a single supplier to a two-supplier strategy. Our price increases over the past fiscal year, coupled with lower direct promotion spend, contributed to our net sales growth. Sales in the general trade segment, 50% of the Philippine sales, grew by 4% year-on-year and by 20% quarter-on-quarter as the group continued to make progress in improving its distributor operations that had impacted results the prior year. And finally, sales in the modern trade segment, 30% of Philippine sales increased by 7%. The next couple of pages will show to you our efforts to increase consumption of our products. First is page 20. This talks about how we're increasing consumption of pineapple tidbits in the Visayas and Mindanao regions, which combined account for 30% of national. Next page, on page 21, is our efforts to increase consumption of Quick and Easy, which now is a strong number two brand in the meal segment on a national basis. And on page 22, you will see how we are advertising spaghetti sauce as well as tomato sauce in an effort to further increase our market share and consumption. Moving now to S&W in Asia. As you know, consumers are moving towards less processed and more natural food, and S&W is expanding its sales of Sweet 16. E-commerce and digital are also growing, specifically in North Asia, and S&W is actively developing this channel with the likes of Alibaba and JD.com. On the next page, 24, I'll talk more about our growth in S&W. It was a very, very good quarter for S&W. Sales in Asia and the Middle East grew strongly by 19%. This was primarily driven by our higher sales of fresh pineapple in North Asia. Fresh sales, both branded and non-branded, improved by 28%. The S&W business generated a much higher operating income, up by 22%. And we also recently launched our Nice Fruit Frozen Pineapple Stick in Family Mart and other convenience stores in China through Xiangfeng and Each Steak. We are very encouraged that this is just the start, and we look to expanding our frozen pineapple stick, specifically in North Asia. Moving to page 25, our joint venture in India, Feel Fresh, where sales were up 11% in rupee terms due to higher Del Monte packaged product sales and Feel Fresh branded fresh sales. Tempel's share loss in Q1 was slightly up versus the prior quarter share of profit due to commodity headwinds and higher overhead expenses. Page 26, I would like to report that one of our independent directors, Dr. Emel Javier, has been declared a national scientist by the President of the Philippines. This is such a big honor for Del Monte Pacific. The Order of National Scientist is the highest honor given by the President of the Philippines to a Filipino man or woman of science who has made significant contributions in one of different fields of science and technology. Dr. Javier is an agronomist with a broad understanding of developing country agriculture. He was the first and only developing country scientist to chair the Technical Advisory Committee of the prestigious Consultative Group for International Agricultural Research, a global consortium led by the World Bank and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. I will now turn you over to Iggy, who will talk more about sustainability and our forecast for the remainder of the year.
Thank you, Tito. Sustainability supports our vision, nourishing families, enriching lives every day. And it is also one of our five strategic pillars to improve operational excellence and sustainability. We published our sustainability report for FY19 just last week, and you can download this from our website, delmontepacific.com. For the first time, we included Del Monte Pacific's contribution to the 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and we have also included a new section on stakeholder inclusiveness. Del Monte Foundation participates in the Zero Extreme Poverty Movement, which supports one of the goals of the SDG of the United Nations. And Del Monte Foods was recognized with the Role Model Award by Produce for Better Health Foundation. So to recap, as Parag said earlier, the group is expected to be profitable in FY 2020 on a recurring basis, so excluding one-offs, and we expect certain one-time expenses from streamlining of operations this year in relation to what Greg outlined earlier pertaining to the asset-light strategy, among others. We will continue to strengthen the core business and continue to innovate, as you have seen in the examples Greg outlined in the U.S. and Sita talked about in our international business as well. We will continue to focus on growing our branded business across our markets and improve our financial performance through a continuous review of our manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S. to improve operational efficiency, reduce costs, and improve our margins. And finally, we will continue to improve our cash flow and strengthen our balance sheet and reduce leverage and interest expense. So this concludes the presentation of our first quarter results. With that, we'd like to open the floor to questions. If you can please state your name.
Hello, Elfie from DBS. Can you hear me?
Yes, Elfie, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay. Can you explain the more details on the dividends that is paid for taxes? The intercompany ones, which entity paid to which entities, and the nature of how this arise, and whether the tax was paid to which government, whether in the U.S. or in Philippines or wherever you operate. Can you give more details?
Sure, I can. So, LV, the way it worked was DMPI, which is Del Monte Philippines, at the end of fiscal year 19, had a retained earning of 18 billion, which has been accumulated over several years. So, DMPI declared a dividend in quarter one, which is to its parent company, Carry. And the amount of dividend that was declared was 75% of the retained earnings, which is 14 billion pesos. So, the 14 billion pesos which was upstreamed, on that, we had to pay a withholding tax of final tax of 15% to the Philippine government on the dividend that was declared. That 15% equates to US$39.6 million, which we have booked in Q1. And as I said, this was a necessary step for us to be preparing for the capital raising initiatives that the group is embarking on.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. How is this a necessary step that will facilitate what you want to achieve? Or without this, how how would this prevent you from achieving what you want to achieve going forward? How necessary is this step?
Thanks for asking. I mean, as you would appreciate, before you embark on any IPO or any other capital raising activity that's related to DMPI, and you dilute the shareholding of DMPI, you would like to make sure that the retained earnings are really appropriated and upstream to the existing shareholder. So that's what we meant by being a preparatory action that we needed to take for capital raising activity.
Yeah, okay, I understand, it's clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alfie. Are there any other questions?
This is Christian Ludwig from Oz Management. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Christian. Yes, we can hear you.
Great. I missed the first 10 minutes, so apologies if this was stated already, but could you help maybe recap timing expectations for sort of when the capital raising would be done, and then, you know, sequentially, you know, plans of what you expect to do with that capital as it relates to any further support provided to DMFI? Thanks.
Christian, we cannot indicate a definite timeline for the capital raising. As Parag said, this is just in preparation for a future capital raising. We continue to monitor market conditions, and as and when we think the market conditions are ideal, then we will launch that capital raising. Beyond that, we cannot be more definite with respect to the timeline. You will appreciate.
To answer your second question, Christian, the capital that would be raised would be to use to reduce our leverage and obligations at the DMPL level.
Got it. So I guess to just clarify, as it relates to DMFI, is there anything you could just say about the parents' willingness and ability to continue? Obviously, you know, provided a bunch of support thus far, and that's gone a long way. Is there incremental ability, wherewithal, et cetera, to continue to provide that support given the maturity profile at that entity?
Thanks, Christian. Yes, we absolutely continue working on the capital structure of the group, including the MFI, and are prepared to look at incremental injection that might be required. That's also being evaluated as we look at the refinancing needs of the DMFI upcoming refinancing needs in the next 12 to 18 months.
Great. Thank you. That's it for me. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi, this is Andy from DBS.
Hi, Andy.
Hi. Just a question on Philippines. Looking at slide 19, it was indicated that the general trade and modern trade is 50% and 30%. Just wanted to clarify in terms of the remaining 20%. And I think the follow-on question is also on Philippines. It was indicated that, you know, the food service sales has actually come off. change in the customer policy. So will we see this reverting back to normal?
First is the 20% of the balance of the two trade segments is really accounted for by food service.
Right.
So it's 50% the general trade, 30% would be modern trade, and 20% would be food service.
Right.
As to the food service decline, we think that we can recover this because one of the QSRs that we service, wherein in one of their key accounts, you know, where we were the single supplier of juices and dispenser, they have decided to adopt a two-supplier strategy. So in a way, when they gave a portion of the business, which is about 40%, we're still 60%, right? When they gave away a portion of the business, that affected us. But we're not worried about that because we have other helps in order to recover that in the balance of the year. So we should be okay as we get to the remainder of the year, and we'll be able to cover that with other new businesses that we have for food service.
Okay, got it. I have another question with respect to the U.S. The U.S. Noted that there are quite a number of NPD, you know, product launches. You know, can we get a sense of how much of this new products actually account for total sales, and when would this actually be significant so that for the U.S. we can actually see overall net sales growth after excluding, say, like the divestment of business, etc.
Yes, in some of our quarterly announcement materials, we referenced the fact that nearly 4% of sales in F20 will come from new products, and if you look at the total value, the net sales that we will deliver in fiscal 20 due to these new products, our plan is $29 million in NSV generated from new product sales.
And the new product sales, I'm not sure whether we can look at that, but the new product sales, they are actually contributing positively to the bottom line? Or?
They are margin accretive products, but there's also investment involved in supporting those new products.
Item
funding, as well as advertising and marketing investments.
Okay.
So not in the first couple of years.
Yep.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, if there are no more questions, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for joining us this evening and this morning in Asia time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 5 minutes.